Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, chapter entitled Entanglement in Fruitive Activities. Text number 34 to 36. Kriya kratubir danais tapasvajaya marshanai admendriya jayena pi sanyasena chakamanam kriya kratubir danais Tapasvajaya Marshanai Admendriya Jainapi Sanyasena Chakarmanam Kriya Kratubir Danais Tapasvajaya Marshanai Atmendriya Jayena Pi Sanyasena Chakarmanam Kriyaya by fruitive activities. Kratubi by sacrificial performances. Nadanai by charity. And Tapaha austerities. Swajaya, study of Vedic literature. Marshanai, and by philosophical research. Atma Indriya Jayena, by controlling the mind and senses. Api. Api. Also. Sanyasena. By renunciation. Cha. And. Kamanam. Of fruitive activities. Jogena. Actually, that's where it ends. This is two more verses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By performing fruitive activities and sacrifices, by distributing charity, by performing austerities, by studying various literatures, by conducting philosophical research, by controlling the mind, by subduing the senses, by accepting the renounced order of life, and by performing the prescribed duties of one's social order, by performing the different divisions of yoga practice, by performing devotional service, and by exhibiting the process of devotional service containing the symptoms of both attachment and detachment, by understanding the science of self-realization and by developing a strong sense of detachment, one who is expert in understanding the different processes of self-realization realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is represented in the material world as well as in transcendence. Purport. There's a long purport. As it is stated in the previous verse, one has to follow the principles of the scriptures. There are different prescribed duties for persons in the different social and spiritual orders. Here it is stated that performance of fruitive activities and sacrifices and distribution of charity are activities meant for persons who are in the household order of society. There are four orders of the social system: Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. For the Grihasthas or householders, performance of sacrifices, distribution of charity, and action according to prescribed duties are especially recommended. Similarly, austerity, study of the Vedic literature, and philosophical research are meant for the Vanaprasthas or retired persons. Study of the Vedic literature from the bona fide spiritual master is meant for the Brahmachari or student. Atmendriya Jaya, control of the mind and taming of the senses is meant for persons in the renounced order of life. All these different activities are prescribed for different persons so that they may be elevated to the platform of self-realization and from there to Krishna consciousness, devotional service. The words bhakti yogena, chaiva, hi, mean that whatever is to be performed, as described in verse 34, whether yoga or sacrifice or fruitive activity or study of Vedic literature or philosophical research or acceptance of the renounced order of life, is to be executed in bhakti yoga. The words chaiva hi, according to Sanskrit grammar, indicate that we must perform all these activities mixed with devotional service, otherwise such activities will not produce any fruit. Any prescribed activity must be performed for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.27, Yat karoshi, yat ashnashi. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, whatever austerities you undergo, and whatever charities you give, the results should be given to the Supreme Lord. The word eva is added, indicating that one must execute activities in such a way. Unless one adds devotional service to all activities, he cannot achieve the desired result. But when bhakti yoga is prominent in every activity, then the ultimate goal is sure. One has to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. As it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births, one approaches the Supreme Person, Krishna, and surrenders unto him, knowing that he is everything. Also in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam. For anyone who is undergoing rigid austerity, or for anyone performing different kinds of sacrifices, the beneficiary is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the proprietor of all planets, and he is the friend of every living soul. The words dharme, no, baya, and chihena mean that the bhakti yoga process contains two symptoms, namely attachment for the Supreme Lord and detachment from all material affinities. There are two symptoms of advancement in the process of devotional service, just as there are two processes taking place while eating. A hungry man feels strength and satisfaction from eating, and at the same time, he gradually becomes detached from eating anymore. Similarly, with the execution of devotional service, real knowledge develops and one becomes detached from all material activities. In no other activity but devotional service is there such detachment from matter and attachment for the Supreme. There are 9 different processes to increase this attachment to the Supreme Lord: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving the Lord, making friendship, praying, offering everything, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. The processes for increasing detachment from material affinities are explained in verse 36. One can achieve elevation to the higher planetary systems, like the heavenly kingdom, by executing one's prescribed duties and by performing sacrifices. When one is transcendental to such desires because of accepting the renounced order of life, he can understand the Brahman feature of the Supreme. And when one is able to see his real constitutional position, he sees all other processes and becomes situated in the stage of pure devotional service. At that time, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Understanding of the Supreme Person is called Atma Tattva Avabodhena, which means understanding of one's real constitutional position. If one actually understands one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord, he becomes detached from the service of the material world. Everyone engages in some sort of service. If one does not know one's constitutional position, one engages in the service of his personal gross body or his family, society, or country. But as soon as one is able to see his constitutional position, the word swadrik means one who is able to see. He becomes detached from such material service and engages himself in devotional service. As long as one is in the modes of material nature and is performing the duties prescribed in the scriptures, he can be elevated to higher planetary systems where the predominating deities are material representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the sun god, the moon god, the air god, Brahma, and Lord Shiva. All the different demigods are material representations of the Supreme Lord. By material activities, one can approach only such demigods. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. Those who are attached to the demigods and who perform the prescribed duties can approach the abodes of the demigods. In this way, one can go to the planet of the Pitas, or forefathers. Similarly, one who fully understands the real position of his life, adopts devotional service, and realizes the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe just come forward just a little bit, just so if other devotees come, they'll be here. Omagyan timidam disya gananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhi Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're getting close to the end of the third canto of the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam is like a deity, which means that Canto 1 and 2 represent the lotus feet of the Lord. Actually, Prabhupada says, in Canto 2, he says that if we are still attached to illicit sex, then we should not study further than Canto 1 and 2. Because they are the foundational books, or it's the foundation of the entire philosophy. And actually, Srila Prabhupada says, everything is in the first canto. The entire philosophy of the Bhagavatam is in the... And it actually is. The entire philosophy is in the first canto. Prabhupada even said, I put everything in the first chapter. And then he also said, I put everything in the first purport. 1.1.1. So everything is in there, the very first. But then, obviously, we're meant to study further. But this is the foundation. And Canto 3... It's like the legs of the Lord. Canto 3 and 4. So the instructions are also very foundational. And the most philosophical portion of the entire Bhagavatam is this section, Kapila's teachings, which is the end of Canto 3, and the 11th canto. The 11th canto is Uddhava Gita and other teachings, which are there. Very philosophical. Very nectarian. And actually, when you study Bhagavatam, you'll see in the commentaries of the Acharyas, quite often they quote the 11th canto to support their thesis or their points, because the 11th canto is like a summary of the entire philosophy. And it's extremely detailed. And the third canto is like that also. So third canto... this particular portion by Kapila Deva is called Sankhya. So Sankhya means analysis, a very detailed analysis. And it's very nectarian, very philosophical, for those who are philosophically inclined. Some people find it very hard going. I remember when we taught this in the Bhakti Vaibhav course, it goes on for many, many, many chapters. It's a long section. The third canto is very long and very philosophical. There's some pastimes earlier on, but it's mainly philosophy. Fourth canto goes back into pastimes again. The fourth canto opens up with the Daksha Jagya, and then goes into many, many pastimes. So I remember some of the Matijis in particular, they said to me, can we speed up the third canto? Because it's too philosophical. Well, let's just go through it quickly. We don't need all this philosophy. We just want to love Krishna. We don't need to go through all of this philosophy. But we didn't speed up, we just went through it. Okay, but it is very philosophical. So Kapila is analyzing from every possible angle, he's analyzing the nature of the material world, the nature of the spiritual world, the nature of devotional service. Very philosophical analysis, very deep analysis. But the conclusion is, as Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport, the conclusion is to understand devotional service. If you study and study and study all the literatures, but you don't understand the process of devotional service, or the goal of life is to serve Krishna, then you've not understood anything. You haven't come to the Veda Sara, or the essence of the entire point. But just like in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's one scholar. His name was Devananda Pandit. So you probably know the pastime of Devananda Pandit. He was a great scholar. These scholars were so powerful. He had memorized the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And probably not just the Bhagavatam, but other Vedic literatures also. The Bhagavatam is the most important of all the Vedic literatures. If you go back through history, Vedic history, and even Vaishnav history, recent history, you'll see that the Srimad Bhagavatam has more commentaries written on it than any other Purana. There's several other Puranas, only a few, where there are commentaries. Most of the Puranas don't even have commentaries. The Bhagavatam has multiple commentaries. And Prabhupada, when he was translating, commenting on the Bhagavatam, he had one book which contained 12 commentaries, which he would refer to before he would write his Bhaktivedanta purports. So Devananda Pandit, he was an incredible scholar, but he was a Mayavadi also. So even though he'd memorized the whole Bhagavatam, he'd misunderstood the entire message of the Bhagavatam. So one time, he lived in Navadvip. Now, Lord Chaitanya lived in, if you go to Mayapur, what we call Mayapur these days, Lord Chaitanya was living on the, trying to get my bearings, must have been the eastern side of the Ganga. So he was living on that side, and Devananda Pandit was living on the other side, what we call the Navadvip side. So he was living over there, and Mahaprabhu was living on the other side, but Lord Chaitanya would travel around the different nine islands, the Navadvip. So Devananda Pandit, he was giving a lecture on the Bhagavatam. And Srivas Thakur, who was part of the Panchatattva, he's one of the great devotees. He's an incarnation of Narad Muni. So Srivas Thakur, he was traveling around. And then he heard someone was speaking on the Bhagavatam. So when a devotee hears someone is speaking on the Bhagavatam, he becomes very enthusiastic. So he went inside and he was sitting and he was listening. But then Devananda Pandit was speaking on the Bhagavatam, and Srivas Thakur was in such ecstasy hearing the Bhagavatam, he began to roll around on the ground. So you can imagine someone in the back. Mahatma Prabhu rolls off his chair and starts rolling across the ground. Then everyone will become a little, so what is going on? Distracted. So Devananda Pandit, there were many, many people there. And Devananda Pandit, he saw someone's rolling around at the back and very distracting for him. So he said, "Who is that?" He said, "Remove him." So some people grabbed Srivas Thakur and took him out. Said, "Hey, go away, you're creating disturbance." So Devananda Pandit could not understand the position of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was a pure devotee. And when a pure devotee hears Bhagavatam, Romancha Kampashru Taranga Bhajo, then tears will come from the eyes, the hairs will stand on end, the body will begin to quiver. If you have that kind of realization, then when you hear the Bhagavatam, you will have ecstatic symptoms. Just like Srila Prabhupada himself, there were occasions, maybe three or four times recorded, when Srila Prabhupada would just be chanting Jai Radha Madhava before Bhagavatam class, and he would become stunned, and tears would fall from his eyes, and he was showing these transcendental ecstasies, Ashta Sattvika Bhavs. They were manifesting in his personality. So a very advanced devotee may display these symptoms when he's hearing the Bhagavatam. So Srivas Thakur was taken out, and then he felt some pain in his heart. some offence was committed. Srivas Thakur, normally devotees are very tolerant, but he felt very upset. He felt hurt. So he went away. So then later on, Nimai Pandit became Sri Chaitanya. He became the great teacher. Nimai Pandit, well, not before he became Sri Chaitanya, even before he took sannyas, but he became a great devotee. He went to Gaya, received initiation from Ishwarapuri, and then Nimai Pandit became a great devotee. So then he would travel around Navadvip with the devotees, because he became the topmost Vaishnava. So he was traveling around, he was walking down the road with his followers, Lord Chaitanya, and Devananda Pandit was walking also with his followers in the opposite direction. But then when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he said, "You, Devananda," he said, "you have committed a great offence to Srivas Thakur. You will not receive my mercy." And Lord Chaitanya turned and he walked the opposite direction. And Devananda Pandit, something happened, even though he was a Mayavadi at the time, but something happened within his consciousness. He realized, something struck him, and he realized that I've committed a great offence to this personality. And something changed in his heart, some bhakti sprouted in his heart just by Lord Chaitanya's darshan. So Lord Chaitanya went away, he took sannyas and he left. He went to Jagannath Puri. But then he was based in Puri, but he sent his devotees out to preach. He himself came back through that direction, through Bengal again. But then he sent Nityananda Prabhu and other great devotees like Vakrashwara Pandit. So if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you hear that Vakrashwara Pandit was one of the great kirtan leaders in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And it said that he could dance non-stop in kirtan for 72 hours. So he would just dance and dance in ecstasy. And it said that he would spin like a firebrand. Like Lord Chaitanya would also do this. They would just spin. And when they were spinning, you couldn't even see their body. It was just spinning so quickly. Just in ecstasy of kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya said about Vakrashwara Pandit, he said, "If I had another wing like Vakrashwara, I could fly." He was such a beautiful dancer. He was one of the only people who could, you could say, keep up with Lord Chaitanya himself, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu and a few of the others. So he would dance. So he came back to Navadvip and he was dancing during Sankirtan. And wherever he would dance, people would just gather around. So he came towards Navadvip where Devananda Pandit was living, and a big crowd were around him, and it would say in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes Lord Chaitanya would leap into the air and then his body would crash to the ground. And it said when he was dancing in ecstasy, and it said that when he crashed to the ground, it would look externally like every bone in his body must have broken. He would hit the ground and then he would get up again and then dance again. Not that Lord Chaitanya has bones, but that was the impression. So Vakrashwara Pandit was doing the same thing. He would dance and then he would crash to the ground, then he would get up. So Devananda thought, "I'll offer some service to this great follower of Lord Chaitanya." So because he's a very influential person, he would go around with his stick, his danda, and he would keep everyone away so that he could dance properly. And then, when he would fall to the ground, he would pick him up and he would brush the dust off of his body. So he was rendering some service. So finally, when Vakrashwara Pandit, when he finished his kirtan, then Devananda Pandit, he took him. He said, "Come to my house. I will feed you. I will look after you." So he went to the house of Devananda Pandit and he stayed with him. And then he was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with Vakrashwara Pandit. And Vakrashwara Pandit said, "Please tell me, you're a great scholar, tell me about Srimad Bhagavatam." So Devananda Pandit explained Bhagavatam, but he was a Mayavadi. And Vakrashwara said, "You've got it all wrong. You haven't understood the essence of the entire Bhagavatam." He said, "Then please teach me." Something changed in his heart. He became humble. That's why it says, Tadvidi pranipatena padi prashnena sevaya. Unless you have the right mood, you cannot understand any of this. We only understand Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. You can only understand when your consciousness is correct. When you have real humility. when you are not arrogant, and when you're not thinking, I know everything, then you become submissive, and then you become qualified. And then this message enters your heart. So, Vakrasvara, Devananda Pandit, he changed. So Vakrasvara Pandit said, I will teach you the Bhagavatam. So he memorized the whole thing, but he didn't understand. So he gave him the purport of the Bhagavatam. Krishna's tu, Bhagavan Swayam, Savai Pumsam, Paro Dhammo. The goal of life is to serve the supreme living entity, Krishna. So he converted him into a Vaishnava. But then he realized, I've committed a great offense. So he said, then you go to Srivast Thakur and you beg forgiveness. So now that he became a devotee, he went to Srivast Thakur and he begged forgiveness. Right? And then Lord Chaitanya accepted him. And then he became a great follower of Lord Chaitanya, a great scholar. Lord Chaitanya converted many powerful people, including Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was considered the greatest pundit in India at that time. And he converted him. So Lord Chaitanya was converting very influential personalities. So that is the point. The Bhagavatam says itself, back in the beginning, in the first canto, Shrama Evahi Kevalam. If you can study everything, but if you do not understand the essence of devotional service, if you do not understand Krishna's supreme position, all of your study is useless waste of time. You haven't actually achieved anything. Later in the Bhagavatam, the Lord Brahma says, it is like beating rice husks which have already been beaten. So in India, you get the husk of rice and you beat it and you separate the husk from the the grain. Right? So a lot of work. So then being a Mayavadi and approaching the Vedic literatures in that way, it's like you go to the husks of rice and you beat them, but someone's already beaten, they've already taken all the grains out, and all you're doing is just beating. So you're working hard, but you don't get anything at the end of the effort. So that's what it's like. You can be a great scholar, but if you don't understand the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and devotional service is the only process to reach Krishna, then it means nothing. Shrama evahi kevalam. Shrama means like useless or empty. There's nothing there. It's just a waste of time. So here, it is describing, Kapila is describing, from many angles of vision, that we should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he does it very analytically, very thoroughly. And even in Bhagavad Gita, it is like that. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks so many different things, all these topics which Kapila is expanding upon in this section. But then at the end of the entire book, what does Krishna say? Sarva Dhamman. Everything I've said previously, and Prabhupada was lecturing on that verse one time, and Prabhupada said, Krishna said, jnana, vairagya, karma, sannyas, tyag. He spoke so many, yoga, he spoke so many subject matters. But then Prabhupada said, then Krishna says to Arjuna, just forget everything I just said. Right? So he just spoke for an hour or two, right, whole Bhagavad Gita. And he analyzed so many things. But at the end, Sarva Dhamma, just forget it all. Right? If you only understand that one verse, you've understood everything. Right? What is the rahasya of the entire Gita? Right? The rahasya, the Acharya's comment, the rahasya or the secret of the entire Gita. Mammana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. That is the secret of the whole Bhagavad Gita, those four things. Become my devotee, right? Always think of me, right? Become my devotee, offer your respects to me, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Those four things. So that is the essence of the entire Gita, right? Always think of me. That is the essence of the entire Gita, and those four things, they expand into nine things, which Prahlad Maharaj gave us, nine processes of bhakti. And those nine things expand into 64, which Rupa Goswami gives us in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That is the essence of it all. Right? But then, actually, in the commentary, Baladeva Vijayabhushan, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they say, Krishna gives that verse, which is the rahasya of the whole thing. He gives four things. Arjuna, always think of me, become my devotee, offer your homage unto me, worship me. And then Arjuna says, Krishna, can you give me just one thing? Right? You gave me four things, can you just give me one thing? So then Krishna says, Sarva Daman, in the next verse. Right? Reject it all. Right? Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Right? That one thing is the essence of everything. So you take that one line, you've understood the whole Bhagavad Gita. Right? If you can incorporate it into your life and your consciousness, then you've understood everything. So that, if you look at the 26 qualities of a devotee, Lord Chaitanya teaches Sanatana Goswami, there are 26 qualities we must cultivate. But Haridas Thakur says in Harinam Chintamani, one of the qualities is Swarup Lakshana, and the other 25 are Tatashta Lakshana, which means they are secondary qualities. But one is the essential quality. And then essential quality of a devotee is Krishnaika Sharana. Krishna Eka Sharana. That is the quality of a devotee. And that's exactly the same line Krishna gives at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Mam Ekam Sharana Braja. Just surrender unto me. Krishna Eka Sharana. Krishna is my only shelter. Eka. Just like we're studying last night in the 10th canto in the Bhaktivedanta course then. Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. It's one of the most intense parts of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the most, because in chapter 39, between verses 19 and 31, there is what is called a Varaha Gita, where the gopis, they sing a Gita in separation from Krishna. Varaha means separation. So they say that Krishna is now about to leave. And we were studying last night that Krishna is so attractive that for all the residents of Vrindavan, he completely captures their consciousness. There is nothing else. Every living entity means the moving living entities, the non-moving living entities. Krishna captures everyone. Therefore, the word Krishna means all attractive. So Krishna says in the Gita, Mam, me, Ekam, only, Sharana, Braja, surrender unto me only. Put your consciousness on me only. That is the essence of everything. Because he is attractive to everyone. Right? The Acharyas point out, he is so attractive and so beautiful that those who have male forms, when they see him, they wish they had a female form. That's how beautiful and attractive Krishna is. They see him, and he's so overwhelmingly attractive, they think this body is useless. I wish I had a female form. Then I could really reciprocate with him. Then I could worship him. Right? He's too attractive. He's too beautiful. So that is the nature of Krishna. So Krishna is saying, abandon everything and just surrender unto me. That is the essence of everything. And if you understand that, right? Then you understand everything. And if you don't understand that, you've missed the whole point. You can memorize the whole Bhagavatam. You can memorize everything. You can be the greatest Vedic scholar, but if you don't have this essential knowledge, and interestingly, if you do have that knowledge, you're considered to be the highest scholar. You know, Lord Chaitanya went to South India, and we hear that he met that illiterate brahmana. So he walked into the temple. Now, where was that? Was it South India? Was it the Adi Keshava temple? Or he was at one of the temples. Lord Chaitanya went there. He walked in, and there's one brahmana, and he's studying the Bhagavad Gita. And he has tears coming from his eyes. And just by his countenance, his demeanor, just by his personality, then Lord Chaitanya, he saw this is not an ordinary devotee. When you're advanced, if we become advanced, just like when Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy met for the first time, they could understand each other's level of consciousness. Now, when Lord Chaitanya saw Ramananda Roy and Ramananda Roy saw Lord Chaitanya, they thought, okay, I understand. These two people are, when you're very advanced and you can see another person, you can understand this devotee is very advanced. And you want to associate with that devotee. Sometimes, because we're not advanced, we meet an advanced already, we don't realize their qualities or their attributes. We don't understand. But Lord Chaitanya, when he met this Brahmin, he understood this is a pure devotee of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya very humbly came and sat next to him. And he said, "Why are you crying?" No? And he said, "Because my guru gave me the instruction. Every day I have to read the Bhagavad Gita. But," he said, "the problem is I can't read. No, I'm, what they call it, dyslexic.
Illiterate."
Yeah, illiterate, or yeah. They can't read. And then Lord Chaitanya says, "So what is moving you?" And then he says, "Well, I see the picture on the front cover, right? And Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna, and I see God himself taking the position of the servant of his devotee." And he said, "That affects my consciousness so much. It moves me so much, then tears come from my eyes. I cannot control myself." So therefore, Lord Chaitanya embraced him. Lord Chaitanya said, "You are the greatest devotee." And factually here, because he understood everything. So it is not about our learning, or we can have so many other qualities. But if we're not surrendered and sold out 100% to Krishna, Shrama Evahi Kevalam, it's all a useless waste of time. And Krishna is not impressed by anything material. We can't offer Krishna anything material. Prabhupada would point this out. There's nothing you have you can offer to Krishna that he's impressed with. What are you going to give him? "Oh, Krishna, I'll give you $1,000. Oh, Krishna, I'll give you $2 million. Right? It doesn't impress Krishna. Krishna appreciates it. It doesn't. How do you impress Krishna? Krishna owns the Shaman Tucker jewel. Krishna owns the Kostubha Mani. Krishna owns Goloka Vrindavan. Right? You know, and we give him, you know, here's a couple of $1 million. You know, he appreciates the bhakti. It doesn't impress him. No? So there's nothing we can offer to Krishna which impresses him. Renunciation. "Krishna, I'm a staunch brahmachari. I only look at the feet of matajis. I don't even look them in the face. I'm so..." No? Same pastime took place in Srivasangam, in Lord Chaitanya's nocturnal kirtans. Right? Lord Chaitanya was dancing and dancing with all the devotees. And then Lord Chaitanya stopped and he said, "There is someone here who is not qualified. I'm not feeling prema tonight." Right? And he looked at Srivas Thakur. He said, "Is there someone here who is not qualified?" And Srivas Thakur said, "That happened two times actually." He said, "Yes, there is someone here." He said, "Who is here?" He said, "There is one brahmachari." Lord Chaitanya said, "Bring him." So he was hiding somewhere. They brought him. Lord Chaitanya said, "He does not have prema. Why did you let him come into this kirtan? This is a prema sankirtan." And Srivas Thakur said, "He's very qualified. He only drinks milk and eats fruit." Lord Chaitanya said, "If I could go back to Krishna just drinking milk and eating fruit, I would be following that process. Tell him to leave." They took him out. Imagine how you would feel being sent out of Lord Chaitanya's kirtan because you're not qualified. So he went out. They locked the gates. And then his heart changed. He realized, "I'm a fool, right? All this tapasya, all this austerity, renunciation, sense control, and I haven't attained love of God. I'm a fool. I don't have anything, right?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Go and get him now." Right? So they went and they said, "Hey, Prabhu, come back." Right? He came back in, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Dance with us," because his heart changed. He developed softness and he developed prema, a love of God. And then another time, Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law was hiding under a basket. Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. And he said, "Who is here?" And then they looked around, they like lifted up the basket, and she's hiding under the basket. Srivas Thakur became very angry. He said, "What are you? You're in the Lord's kirtan, but you're not qualified?" Once again, right? Had to leave. Yeah. And later on, she was allowed to come back and participate. But if we're not qualified, we can't enter. So there's nothing material which can take us to Krishna. There's only bhakti. If we have bhakti, we can attain Krishna. You can capture Krishna. The quality of bhakti on the highest level, prema bhakti, Rupa Goswami describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion. The quality, two qualities of prema bhakti. One is Sri Krishna Kashani. Sri Krishna Kashani means it controls Krishna. You get full control of Krishna. But if you do not have prema, you cannot control Krishna. Krishna is not easy to control. But if you have prema, Prabhupada said that the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is that you can take Krishna by the hand and lead him just like Mother Yashoda. That is the goal of our Krishna consciousness, where we become so pure that we can control God. Not that we want to control God, but you have such a pure relationship. You can take him by the hand, he will follow. You have to be extremely elevated. But this is the goal. This is what we're aiming for. And this will only come about when we develop a selfless devotional attitude towards Krishna. As long as we're selfish in our devotional service, we can never attain Krishna. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, Savai pumsam paro dhammo yato bhaktir adhoksaje ohoituki apratihata yayatma supersediti. So these two qualities, the Bhagavatam itself says these are the two qualities of bhakti. Ahoituki apratihata. Ahoituki means without motivations. We do devotional service for one reason, because it gives satisfaction to Krishna and to the spiritual masters and to the devotees. That's why we do devotional service. And apratihata means without interruption. Not that we do devotional service 6 days a week. And then the seventh day, we put in our shorts and we go to the beach. Of course, you can do that, but you have to be thinking of Krishna. You have to be in Krishna consciousness all the time. It's not that devotional service is like a job. I work 5 days a week and then I have 2 days off. I chant my rounds a certain amount of times, but then I have a couple of days off. I don't chant. Sometimes we hear devotees say things like that. I'm on holiday, I'm not chanting. I don't have to chant all my rounds, I'm having a break. But that's not devotional service. Prabhupada said, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? That's how we begin to feel when you become advanced and purified in Krishna consciousness. Right? You chant your rounds, but you feel, why just 16? Why can't I chant 16,000? On the days where we chant our rounds nicely, that's how we feel. You don't want to put down your bead bag, or the holy name just keeps rolling off your tongue. Lord Chaitanya, when he would chant, he would say, I cannot stop my tongue chanting. So that should be the consciousness that we have. Lord Chaitanya would have to hold his tongue when he went to the latrine, when he went to pass water, hold his tongue, because he didn't want to chant Krishna's holy name when he was in an impure place. And then one boy, his name was Gopal, he said to Lord Chaitanya, why are you holding your tongue? And he said, I don't want to chant when I'm in an impure place. And he said, at the time of death, you're completely impure. You can't control your bowels or your faculties. You're completely impure. Should you not chant at that time? And then Lord Chaitanya said, Gopal, you are my guru. He said, from now on you'll be called Gopal Guru. And he became Gopal Guru Goswami, a very great follower of Lord Chaitanya, who wrote some very powerful books. So that is the essence. The essence is that we must serve and please Krishna. And if we don't, our life is Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It is a useless waste of time. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments, what we discussed. Ross.
Sri Ranga Ketra.
Yeah, very good. Sri Ranga. Yeah. That's where the Brahmana was meant by Lord Chaitanya. Thank you.
Last night you were discussing about the last thing in the life is all relationships are finished. You wanted to tell us a little more about it. At the time of death, all our material relationships are finished. Only the relationship we found is Krishna, what we have developed our love for Krishna. Do you want to say something about it?
Yeah, well, that's the reality. Yeah, that's a nice point. We're discussing in the 10th canto last night that everything in this material world, every relationship, it fails us. And the Bhagavatam says, Atma Sanyesh Vasat Swapi, Asat. So Prabhupada translates that verse, which is actually from Canto 3 earlier on. Prabhupada says that all the relationships we have in this world, Prabhupada says, are fallible soldiers. They're fallible. They will let us down. So at the end, nothing is there. Right? No one can protect you at the end. None of the relationships will endure. They all disappear. They dissipate. So therefore, the only relationship which we can cultivate is with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And that is actually the essence of life. Because those relationships, they last. They are eternal relationships. Even like on the weekend, I spent time with my biological family, my material family. And it's nice. They're nice people. And nice. They have some devotional sentiments and that. But my real family is the devotees. I always feel like that. The real family is devotees. Because these relationships, they last. And they're not based on the material. They're not based on your bodily relationship. They're based on something real. They're based on your commitment to each other and your commitment to serving Krishna. And that's reality. That is sat. So therefore, the real relationships we have are with Krishna. So we have to cultivate that, because at the time of death, that one relationship is the thing that protects us. If we're attached to Krishna, we go to Krishna. If we're attached to any of the material things, then... That's basically it. So.
How does that work? Because if we're feeling separation from the devotees, say in Melbourne, our physical form is going to be finished. Their physical form is also going to be finished in due course. And so all of those relationships apparently are going to be taken away as well. Mm. So how can meditation on those devotees be beneficial for our spiritual advancement? And as you're saying, all of our relationships are destroyed, even the relationships that we have with the devotees, at least on the on the external platform. Yeah, if we have attachment for the devotees, then that's considered to be good for our spiritual life. So how does that actually work, given that even those relationships, at least from a from an external perspective, are gone as well?
Mm.
And you can feel great pain in separation from the devotees.
Mm.
And that's supposed to be beneficial for it.
Mm.
So what's the meditation? Proper meditation.
Yeah. There's, I was reading the other day, whether it's Chaitanya Bhagavat or there's one verse quoted, or it might be by Vasu Ghosh, one of Lord Chaitanya's great followers, who was a great poet. And the essence of what he says is, our consciousness needs to become attached to Lord Chaitanya and his eternal associates. So when we're saying that we have to become attached to the devotees, we're talking about his eternal associates, and that's not different. And the relationships we have with the devotees here, because obviously we haven't developed the consciousness yet where we can be considered eternal associates. But the relationships we have here, that is also purifying, and it's also leading upwards towards Krishna. And we could take it that, as Prabhupada says, there's another ISKCON in the spiritual world. But I think it comes down to how we see the other devotees. Not just that we have the relationship, but when you see them more on the spiritual platform or for their spiritual merit. And that means, when someone's leaving their body, like an Anyabak, or, we've gone through so many, who go. And then I remember I saw him the day before he left, and then I was with him when he left the next day, but the day before. And up until... I said to him about 3 months before he left, I said, do you have any material desires or attachments? I wanted to understand his realizations. I said, do you have material desires or attachments? And he just smiled at me with a smile like, yes, I do. Obviously, I haven't given up all my attachments. But the day before he left, I went to see him and, I was holding his hand just as I was leaving. I said, I'm going now. And he just gave me this look and I could see it was all gone. I could just see there was nothing left, no material desire, material attachment. So when we're relating to the devotee on that level, when we give up all of our conditioning and all of the material identification, and you finally get then that kind of attachment, I think that's purifying. And that's what leads us to Krishna. And that's how I remember him. don't remember him on that level of consciousness. You know, not the material things which happened, you know, leading up to that in terms of our purification, but that final. So I think when we're attached to devotees on that level, then that's when it becomes sat, it becomes eternal, it becomes spiritual, and that's when it's ultimately purifying. Yes, the type of association we have, because I was having dinner with a devotee last night and he was saying to me, you know, I've heard in one of the prominent places within our society, without saying, you know, which place, but, you know, can be obvious in another way. He's saying, you know, I've heard there's a lot of politics and devotees don't speak to each other nicely and this thing and that thing. So that's not what we're talking. When we talk about association with the devotees, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when the devotees come together, like for a holy name retreat or something like that, and everyone's acting, you know, we're doing the devotional activities and we're absorbing in the internal energy. That's what we're talking about. That's the attachment, that's the association. We would hope. Sometimes they're going crazy and it's not the spiritual energy they're acting off. But yeah.
Not the adults.
Oh, the adults, I think the adults' consciousness is sometimes less than the kids. Sometimes just stimulated by the mode of passion in the holy name is not really the center. But when you do have those kind of kirtans, you know, when you go to these kind of retreats and, you know, even when sometimes you do have a kirtan, you can see everyone's, you can tell. When you with the devotees, you can see they're chanting on the spiritual platform or they're chanting from the mode of passion. It's two distinct flavors and experiences. So when we associate with devotees in the internal energy, because Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam parita, devim prakritim ashrita. So when the devotees are taking shelter of that devi prakriti, then that's when that's the association we're talking about.
Does that happen every day?
Yeah.
Happens every day, pretty much.
Hmm.
And what another question I have.
Does anyone else have any questions when Prabhu was thinking?
Well, you mentioned about uninterrupted devotion service and we should always engage our senses in devotion service. How do you approach this when you're at a place where you had to withdraw the senses because it may affect your consciousness? How do you keep yourself quiet?
Because Krishna speaks about that in the second chapter. Krishna says you have to become a korma. A korma means a tortoise. So if you in a situation like at your work, right, obviously, I would imagine. So you're at your work, right, and you can't extend your senses out to begin to serve Krishna because there's no opportunity in that environment. So Krishna says at that time, internally, you take your consciousness within, right, and you meditate on Krishna within because externally there's no opportunity for devotional activity. Right. So chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyaha Sadahari. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Satato Kirtiyanto Mam. Right? So that can always go on. So even you can be in the most materialistic place, But you can internally, you can still be completely absorbed in Krishna, meditating on him, meditating on his form, thinking of his instructions, meditating on what you heard in the class in the morning, meditating on the devotees. And sometimes Krishna puts you in a position where you're away from the devotees, because then that intensifies your desire to be with the devotees. Right? So you're in a job, right? But you're probably in the job thinking, you know, when can I just be with the devotees again? I hate it here. Right? And when it becomes too intense, right, you join the brahmachari ashram. Right? Like, you know, we've got examples sitting in front of us. Like, you know, ask the guy the same thing. They were doing the same thing you were doing. And it got to a point where they just, in their consciousness, they exploded. They, I can't do this anymore. Right? And they came down the temple and then they said, you know, Prabhus, and then, you know, we dyed their cloth and that was the end of it. Right? So they're the options you have. So you stay away. If you can't come to that level of surrender, then you stay in your position. But then, you know, you'll feel... It'll create like a tension in you where you feel, I want to be with Krishna more, I want to do more service more. And then eventually you get to the point where you do fully surrender. So just, you act like a korma, which means if you can't use your senses, you just go within. Like that. All of us have to go through that. I mean, sometimes, you know, you get on the plane, like I get on the plane to go to India or something. As soon as you get in there, it's just like, it's Maya Loka. Maya Central, right? And then, you know, wherever you look now, there's just screens. Everyone's, you know, 50 movies going simultaneously. And, you know, so I just put my head down, open up, you know, whichever book I'm reading, and just start to read on the way across. You know, if I'm going to the Holy Dharma or something, then just absorb myself, right? And then, you know, chant your rounds and try not to be distracted. It's difficult because you're in that situation where you have to go within like that. One devotee, very good friend of mine, he was a brahmachari, young and fanatical. He probably wouldn't do it now, but, you know, he was on the plane. Actually, I was sitting with Aniruddha Prabhu, and we were traveling to Calcutta, and he was sitting a couple of seats ahead of us by himself, like, because there's four seats, there's no one there, so he sat there. So he put on those...
masks.
Yeah, the eye mask. So he had them on, and he was chanting his japa, so he wouldn't be distracted. And he was going... like this. Sani Ruta Prabhu was sitting next to me. He said, go and tell him to be merciful to us. So I went over and I said, you know, maybe you could be less attention receiving. So he, you know, he calmed down a little bit and like, Krishna was there. So whatever you have to do to keep the distractions out, but you also have to be normal for the rest of the world. It was actually, I learned a good lesson when I was a new devotee. I'd only been a devotee 1 or 2 years. And I was up at Sydney. And the Brahmachari Ashram in King's Cross, Darling Heads, just around, it was around the corner. And I was a new devotee and very, you know, fired up, very fixed, very, you know, enthusiastic, but, you know, fanatical. And then I was chanting my japa in the morning. We had, you know, finished the morning program and then we had breakfast and then we came out. And I was waiting to go out on Sankirtan, book distribution like that. So I was chanting my japa. So, you know, it's a main street outside the Brahmachari Ashram. And there was a cafe. So I'm, you know, walking up and down in front of the cafe chanting my japa, completely oblivious to anyone else in this universe, except, you know, because I was chanting Krishna's holy name and that's the only thing that was important. So I was just going up and down, up and down. So, you know, anyone who's inside the cafe looked like I was mad. Seriously. I mean, it looks like, you know, it doesn't look like normal. I could tell you several stories, but you know, it was not normal. And then one Prabhupada disciple came. He left his body a few years ago. What was his name? Yesho. So Yesho Mati Nandan Prabhu, his Prabhupada disciple. So he came around the corner and he saw me and he walked straight up to me and he said, Prabhu, come here. So he took me like over to the side and he said, do you have any idea what you're doing? And I said, oh, I'm, you know, chanting, oh, you know, I'm purifying the universe, and purifying Darlinghurst, and, you know, purifying, you know, the living entities. He said, people will never join the Hare Krishna movement if they see you doing that. Mm-hmm. He said, this is anti-preaching, like that. And it was a big lesson that I learned. And I learned that, fortunately, from the very beginning, because a devotee pulled me up and taught me something. So, and then I always say that to devotees now. You know, if you see a devotee doing something you know, for us it may look okay, but for them, you know, like I've got on trams before, you know, going to the city to do Harinama devotees, and they, you know, devotee gets on the tram and he gets his japper out, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, in the middle of the tram, like people don't know what that means. It looks, especially these days, they probably think, you know, you're about to blow the tram up or something. That's seriously, that's what people would start thinking. They'd become very on edge. So, you know, we'd say to devotees, just, you know, you can chant your japa, but chant it silently or just go within yourself and do it very discreetly. You know, because for the non-devotees, it doesn't attract them to the Hare Krishna movement. It makes us look mad. That's what I meant. Even one time I was going in to do Harinam, and we're going in the tram, and then we're on Collins Street going up, and there was one devotee dressed in saffron on by himself, with a mridanga, you know, doing kirtan by himself, you know, quite enthusiastically like this, you know, like, and we went past on the tram with the other devotees, you know, coming to me. And when I got out, I said to Prabhupada, I said, don't do that. You know, because visually what it looked like on the tram, it looked like a crazy person. You know, just with one mridanga, like this, you know, it really didn't look. So it wasn't necessarily going to bring people to Krishna. You know, if you have a nice group of devotees and it's well structured, you know, and it's, you know, the kirtan is appealing, then, you know, okay, start kirtan. But then, you know, if you're just going to be like a mad person, it really can have the opposite effect. Maybe if you sit down like a busker with a harmonium or something and you do it nicely, then people might be attracted, but you have to be very conscious of. Is that okay? Okay. Any other question or? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki? Yes.